not becoming tainted when tests and trials come. Not becoming tainted, becoming embittered. I'm convinced that Satan desperately strives to get us to question God's love and destroy that if he can at a very early age. The enemy of our soul, as my daddy used to say in regard to the devil, the enemy of our soul, the one who wants to destroy our destiny with the Lord and our relationship with the Lord, the father of lies, Satan, from the time we enter this world, wants to taint us toward God so that we'll lock out his love. Can you see that? If he can get child abuse going in the home real early, he wants to do that. We got to get our brains around the fact that we live in a cursed world. Don't get caught up in the thinking of that God is causing all the ills in our world. There's some really, really bad theology that the world has bought. God gave man a choice, and mankind chose to go another direction. Natural consequence. As a result of that, a curse came on the world. God, who's a God of love and pure and holy, and every good and perfect gift comes from God, he could no longer bless creation because sin had entered it. And when sin gets in, things start going south real quick. We live in a cursed world. It says that in the Garden of Eden that a curse came on the world when man turned from God. Satan won dominance. No, Satan isn't greater than God. But the will of man and woman is the difference. One man said to me years ago, and I questioned it at first, the greatest power in the universe is the will of a man, because God himself has chosen to stop short of that. God doesn't want anybody to perish and all to come to repentance, but you can choose to go your own way. And God gave us a will, and mankind chose to go the wrong way, and a curse came on the world. In Revelation, I've just referred to Genesis at creation, but in Revelation it says there'll be a new heaven, new earth, and there'll be no more curse. We live in the time in between. So there's difficult things in our world. There's hardships. There's things to deal with that are difficult. And Satan, at a very early age, wants to taint our attitude, embitter us toward God. This morning, I feel very strongly, don't know for sure what all I'm going to say, but God drew me early in the week to Job chapter 1. And I'm going to read some verses there. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the trials of life and not letting your spirit become tainted, your spirit become embittered. I have seen this test in my own life. I have seen times when what I was going through, God gave me the revelation to realize that this was a situation where the enemy wanted to taint me toward God. If I became tainted toward God, does that mean he doesn't love me anymore? Oh, no. But I have shut out his love. If our heart is open to God's love, God will do marvelous things in our life. So the enemy obviously wants to taint us, wants to take us another direction and embitter us toward God. Job chapter 1, I want to read some verses there. This is a great section. I'm going to read a little more than I normally do. Job chapter 1, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 kids. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take their turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters and eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them. I don't know if you've noticed that when you ever read in Job, if you have, but that's incredible. He had 10 kids, and he was so concerned that they were staying on track that in the mornings he'd have a sacrifice for each of them. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Boy, I can't pass that up. Hang in there praying for your kids. Boy, it can be discouraging at times. Had a son who's miles and miles away this morning that I believe is foundationally more on track than ever before, but spent 13 years in heroin addiction. Don't give up. Job's kids would get together and have a party. I'm not sure where all his kids were spiritually, but the seven sons would get together, their families and the sisters would come over, and Job would sacrifice each morning. This is the Old Testament. This is before the coming of Christ. Many believe Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. This was a prominent man. Job was one of the greatest men in the East. This is an awesome story. This was put here for us. Don't give up praying for your children. Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this was Job's regular custom. He kept praying and bringing them to God. Now, stay with me. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. Who would have ever suspected that he would show up? The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Interesting. A lot can be learned right here. So here's a faithful man that's so faithful that he's has 10 sacrifices every morning, Kevin, for his kids. Satan shows up. He's been, "Where have you been?" "I've been roaming up and down the earth." Satan is the prince and power of the air. He's in the fourth dimension. We see three-dimensional. He's in the fourth and fifth dimension. And when the prophet's eyes were open, he saw angels. And we've had some experience in our street ministry and working with people that there'll be times when things will even be can and at times can become visible. I know people that have experienced that. But he roams. It's interesting. He showed up before the Lord, and he said, "Where have you come from?" And he said, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Maybe if that were yesterday or Friday, he would say, "Where have you been?" "Well, I've been walking up and down the aisles at Square D. I've been walking up and down the aisles of Walmart. I've been walking up and down the aisles of the school where your kids go." He's the prince and the power of the air, and he's roaming. And he's an enemy that we have to deal with. Coming to Jesus Christ is confessing our sins and opening our heart to Jesus. This is why it's so important that we don't become tainted toward God. Keep in mind, where we're going with this today is that beware lest you become tainted when tests and trials come. The devil wants to taint you in some way so you close out God's love. He wants to taint you or embitter you through circumstances of this cursed world so that you close out God's love. Pastor Bishop used to have such an impact on me. Ronald Bishop, one of my mentors. As I saw the love of Christ in him in a way I had not seen. Oh, I had seen the love demonstrated, seen it in my parents. But Pastor Bishop had a way. I needed that particular element in my life. God knows what you need. He'll put you with people for a season. Let me say something about that. You may be with someone for a season, and then God will move you, and you'll be with another person for a season, and then you'll have the influence of someone else. Don't get shook about that. God will put you different places to have you glean the things you need. And you know, when you hear me talk about Pastor Bishop, my mentor, I bet it sounds like I was with him for about 15 years. You know, it was a year and a half. It was a year and a half. But the impact that had on my life. He was a man that had trials and tests and difficulties in life, but it didn't embitter him. I knew that he had buried two of his sons in British Honduras as a missionary and even made a casket out of a Kentucky Fried Chicken box at one point to bury his son. I knew that his wife had gone to a coma and he'd come home from the mission field and she had laid unconscious for 6 years. And he'd gone up every day to sing. I knew that. And I would kneel with him at the altar at Fifth Street Church where he used to pastor in Peru. And he invited me on Thursday mornings to come and pray with him. And I would meet with him. I was so honored and flattered that he would want to have his devotions with me as a young man. And I worked the night shift. I got up at 6:30 in the morning. I'd go straight down to the church. And Mike, we'd kneel there at the altar together. And he would talk about the love of God. And tears just run down his face. And I'm like, how in the world could this guy bury two of his kids, spend 6 years singing to his wife in a coma and raise his daughters by himself and come home from the mission field when he had dreams of he and his wife being missionaries all of their life, and here that was all destroyed and went up in smoke, and he's sitting here with tears running down his face, Marilyn, and he's saying, you had him as a pastor as well, and he's saying, oh, the love of God, isn't God wonderful? And I'm like, excuse me? He hadn't let the trials of life embitter him. From the minute you open your eyes as an infant, I believe the devil's trying from that point forward to in some way taint you and embitter you so you close out the love of God. If that doesn't work as a child and he can't get that accomplished in the home, because that's probably one of the worst kind. That's why we have such a heart for people here that have been abused, because things that happen in childhood leave such a scar and lifelong they're with you. But if he can't get that accomplished, then he'll throw you into situations in life that seem grossly unfair, that will cause you to think, God loves me? How in the world could this happen to me? Not understanding that this is a cursed world and we overlap. You say, well, maybe I didn't make that decision. No, but your world overlaps with other people that are making decisions that are wrong. You with me? We all have a world, and we live in that world, but my world overlaps with yours on Sunday morning. We come to the same place. You have other people you overlap with on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and the decisions they make can have effect on us. And the enemy is constantly trying to create situations and problems and difficulties to embitter us toward God. He's roaming the earth looking for that opportunity. All right. I like it when I can do ADD messages and just kind of jump around like I feel. I really enjoy that. So, get the picture. Where have you been, Satan? Been strolling around Square D. Smart? Yeah, can you just see him? Just aggravate you thinking about it. And been walking around Walmart, been down to school. Where have you been, Satan? I've been roaming the earth. Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't flirt with the enemy. He's out to devour you. Devour is what the word says in the original language. To devour. He's out to eat you alive. We're always nervous when our kids get to a certain age and they start flirting with sinful things because we know where that'll go. Did you know that sin's destructive? Boy, we ought to know that in our congregation. Sin's destructive. Sin is destructive. Isn't it interesting that the demonic, who had 1,000 demons, and Jesus confronted him there in that cemetery in the scripture, what was he doing? He was scraping himself with stones and cutting himself to pieces. That's an ultimate example of destruction. But sin is destructive even in the smallest element. You lie long enough, you'll hang yourself. You're proud long enough, you'll have a fall. Pride cometh before a fall. We all know where addictions take us and on those kind of things. And as people are seeking for comfort, the reason God is so gentle and generous and kind to us because he understands that when we do some of these things, we're looking for comfort in this cursed world. And the devil is constantly trying to draw us in with a comfort of some kind that will ultimately destroy us. So where have you been? I've been roaming the earth, been walking back and forth. Verse 8, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I can't tell you how much I like that verse. The Lord said this to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, and he's a man that fears God and shuns evil." Oh, man. I want to live a life. Can I just say it how I feel? I want to live a life that God would brag on me. Satan says, "Yeah, I've been walking back and forth, came up 31 the other day, was down through Mexico, stopped in here, was here. Have you seen my servant Vince? Have you seen my servant Brian? Have you noticed him? Have you seen my servant Ashley and Ben? Have you seen? All scripture is for our instruction. We're not sucking blood out of a turnip here. Scripture was given for our instruction and our development. This story is in here, one of the oldest stories in the Bible, for our benefit. I want to have the kind of commitment in honoring God where God says, "Have you seen him?" "Yeah, I've seen him, but you let me give him leukemia and he'll turn on you." You think the devil ever does things like that? Let's see if he does. Satan said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands. His flocks and herds spread throughout the land. But you stretch out your hand and strike things he has, and he'll curse you to your face." So the devil kind of gets a little brave here and puts out a challenge to God and says, "Well, yeah, I've seen your servant. I've seen your servant, Robbie. I've seen him. Yeah, I know, but hey, let me put a little pressure on him. And I think this happens more than we realize. I think sometimes we isolate stories in the Bible and think that was true of Job way back long ago, thousands of years ago, but I don't know that that necessarily applies to me. I think this goes on more than what we realize. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser. But boy, this gets scary here. And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, all right, you're on. Everything he has is in your hands." Yikes. That's pretty scary. Lord said to Satan, this is the showdown of the ages here. Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself, don't you lay one finger." Let me tell you something. The devil can't go any farther with you than God lets him, and you let him. Draw that line. 2 weeks ago, I acted out on the platform. I said, "Draw that bold line." Maybe that was last week. I don't remember. Draw that line. Draw that line. And when the devil comes along and offers you something, draw that line again. No, I'm not crossing it. We're going to do things different. We're going to do a new thing. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. You ought to know that line. If you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you're... "Well, I just keep getting this mess." Well, I just keep doing the same thing. You just keep doing the same thing. I've been there. Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is yours to have, but don't you lay a finger on him." He drew a line. And Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked them and carried them off. And they put all the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God," or lightning, I would say perhaps, "fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. And they put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one that has escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, another messenger came. Boy, the devil didn't mess around here, did he? God gave him permission to go ahead and test Job. And boy, did the events start to happen. Are you seeing something here? People say, well, don't blame the devil for everything. No. And I understand what they mean by that. Sometimes there's things that are our own choice, and we can say the devil made me do it. But I do think, and we see in this story, that there's a lot of happenings that happen around our world that it is the devil behind it. And even though the Sabians came and attacked and killed his livestock, the enemy was the one behind it. While he was yet speaking, verse 18, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking. Ooh, this is getting close to home. Ever lost any children? Some of you have. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came. Your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house. And suddenly a mighty wind swept from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed them. They're all dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Oh, let's stop there for a second. This is the guy that had done a sacrifice every morning, Vince, for each of his kids. Perfect opportunity to become tainted and embittered with God. Perfect opportunity to become tainted. You kidding me? Every morning, 10 sacrifices before God for each of my children, one for each, 10 sacrifices every morning. And this is what happens. Let me tell you something. Listen to me, please. We don't know, without our eyes being opened, our spiritual eyes, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Sometimes the devil's bargaining really high for you. Now listen up. Some of you here that have come out of ugly, ugly, ugly stuff in horrible, horrible, hellish addictions, the devil is bidding high for you. Real high. You know why? Because if you beat it, you're undeniable proof that this works. I don't like to say it this way, but we've had people, Pam and I talk, sometimes it's folks at the rescue resort, sometimes it's in the 12 step, elsewhere, just attendants of our church. Pam says, what do you think's going on? I said, they're having the hardest time in the world. Oh my goodness, they're having a terrible time. They just keep having problem after another. And I said, I don't know, but if I was the devil, I would hammer them to death, because if that person comes out of that mess, it's going to prove that Jesus is real. You with me? Yeah. I can't tell you how strong I feel this. You know why they wanted to kill Lazarus? Because he was undeniable proof. Lazarus had been in the grave 3 days. And Jesus went up to the house and he said, roll away the stone. They said, oh, he stinks awful. You know, they didn't embalm in those days like they do now. He said, we can't roll away the stone. He said, roll it away. And the hundreds of thousands of people gathered. They'd come out from Jerusalem to see this thing. And Jesus, and he called out, and Lazarus came out of the tomb bound in grave clothes, and when he hollered, Lazarus, come forth. And it says after that the Pharisees were out to kill Lazarus. The reason was because he was undeniable proof. This story had gotten out, and we can't let them see him, because that'll prove it. And some of you are undeniable proof. You've come back from ugly stuff. I look around this congregation sometimes while we're singing, and I got to look back down at my music, because I can't hardly take it while I'm singing, because as I see you sing and there's joy on your face, or maybe you raise your hand or there's jubilance in your eyes, I know where you came from. I know you used to sell yourself on the street. I know you used to be deep into addictions. I know you used to be into devil worship. I know those things, and you're undeniable proof. And so the enemy wants to destroy you. And he wants to take you out. So sometimes it isn't the Sabians that came along, sometimes it may be the Sabians that came along, and that's what the devil used, but don't you kid yourself, the devil was behind it. Are you with me? And I believe some of you work in environments where there are strongholds. I've said that to some of you. I do. I believe some of you work in environments where there are strongholds. And I won't go into it and be that specific from up here. But I've had places, there's ways in which I pray for some of you, because I believe some of you work in areas where there's strongholds of rebellion, or there's strongholds of wickedness or immorality. A stronghold is just what it says, a stronghold. In other words, there's been so much of that kind of sin, that particular kind of sin committed there, that it's created a strength of the enemy, and there's a demonic force actually at work there. And I believe that is true. The enemy is out to destroy us. your undeniable proof when you follow Christ and you become a new creation in Christ. And how easy it would be for Job to become tainted here. The end of this story is a marvelous story. For all of the ages, we preach on Job, and God ended up giving him twice as much as he'd ever had before. Is the end of the story, and we don't have time to talk about all of that. But how easy it would have been when he had sacrificed for each of his children, and then they're killed here. Boy, a lot of good that did. I went to church 100 Sundays, and a lot of good that did. I tried to do all the right things and help out in the church and this and that, and look what happened. There's more going on behind the scenes than meets the eye. You with me? There's more going on behind the scenes. What Job didn't know is that there had been argument between God and Satan, and God had said, this man loves me and he will not turn on me. And Satan said, oh, he's got ulterior motive. He got ulterior motive. You're having sex, you give him a new house. You give him a beautiful place to live. You give him all kinds of stuff. Look how pretty his wife is. You having sex, you take perfect care of him. He said, all right, all right. Daddy used to say, Kevin, I always liked this in the story of Job. He said, Job is the story that a man can serve God on love alone. Because he ended up losing everything. It had to be that he loved Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's going to be times things don't look right. There's going to be times things do not look right. There's going to be times when you've prayed over things and the Sabians come and kill all the camels. Okay? And it's then that the enemy comes along and says, oh, so God's for real, huh? So you sang Amazing Love Sunday at church, and you were singing This Is Amazing Grace, and you had your hand in the air. Boy, this God isn't taking very good care of you because he wants to taint you and embitter you. Beware lest a root of bitterness spring up and defilement. He wants to taint you so that you're not open to the love of God. Let's get this crystal clear. God does not quit loving us. He loves us unconditionally. But we shut him out when we become tainted or embittered. That trip to the funeral home we didn't expect. I've seen the devil try this on me. I've seen it. He tried it on me in the trailer where you live. Only you have a different trailer, but it's the same spot. Vince has gotten a new trailer, fortunately. But my mom and dad had a 1967 mobile home. 12 by 65 over here where Vince and Gail live. And he tried to embitter me. If you would have asked me, how will my mother die? How will Virginia Robbins die? How many times have I said to you that my mom should be in Hebrews chapter 11 of the patriarchs? Well, my mother was an incredible Christian. I never saw anything like it in my life. My mother was an incredible Christian. If you'd ask me, how will your mother die? I'd say, oh man, I don't know. God's probably going to show up with 16 horses and a chariot. You know, and they're going to blow trumpets, and they're going to come up 450 North with the chariots, and they'll be flaming. Everybody say, what in the world is that? And they're going to get Virginia Robbins. That's probably what I'd have said. The kids are upstairs. Don't be offended. She choked on her own vomit and died. And I was with her when it happened. She aspirated while I was on the phone trying to call John Reese because we were in the middle of a snowstorm, and she called me, and she was deathly sick. And she said, Tom, I need your help. Mom never did that. Her three sons are ministers. She don't want to bother you, you know. She never called you. And I heard a faint voice on the other end with broken voice. You could tell that she was sick. And she said, Tom, this is Mom. Could you come over? And I hurried over, and I got stuck down there on 450 in the snow because we were in the middle of a snowstorm. And I ran to the house and left the car in the road. We ended up, after she died, actually, they had to plow the road before the undertaker could come out. It's a bad snowstorm. 3 days before Christmas in the year 2000. I went in the house, realized we were in big trouble. She was very, very sick. And I leaned down, and she said, please get me back to the bathroom. And I never will forget. Some of you have heard this, but others of you haven't. Little did I know what was going on at that point. She said, help me back to the bathroom. She was too weak to walk. She's a little short German lady. I could put my chin on top of her head. So I got her up. And I said, Mom, I'm going to pull you up against me. Put your arms around me. And put your feet on top of mine. Because she was so weak. What I didn't know, as we spent 8 to 10 minutes walking backwards, is that the loving Heavenly Father was letting me give my mom a 10-minute hug before she went to glory. And we walked all the way down, and I got her in the bathroom. She was such a modest and precious person. She wanted me out of there. So I helped her get in there and close the door, waited till she was finished, got her into the bedroom, went to call John. I said, we got to get you to the hospital. Didn't realize she aspirated while I was on the phone. And when I got to her, she was so full, it was too late. And she died. But I know that there was more than met the eye than that. I would have thought that a chariot would come with trumpets and Elijah would be leading the band to pick up my mom. I never dreamed she would aspirate and choke to death. But sitting on the floor in that trailer that day with her corpse beside me and waiting on to plow the road, I was there 2 hours next to her body after she died. God said, what did your mom teach you? And I said, she taught me, I will trust in you that you say. And God said, now are you going to do it or not? And I said, I am. And you know what? I've never been tainted about that a bit. It's okay. It's okay. And you know, I think probably we glorified her so much, Patty. We glorified her so much, it probably almost displeased the Lord. So he let her die real human. We did. We glorified her so much and bragged on her so much, and she never wanted you to do that, but we did that. I don't know all the reasons that happened, but I want to tell you there's more going on behind the scenes than we're seeing. Are you with me? And I believe that was a season of time. Listen to me. That was a season of time at Skinner Chapel where I was preaching really strong. I was feeling unusually anointed, incredibly anointed. It was an unusual time in my preaching, and I even had people tell me, you're preaching with a new fervor. And I believe that what was going on behind the scenes is the devil said, yeah, you let me take a good shot at him, and he won't be so mouthy about things. Let me take a little wind out of his sails. Anybody had something happen that didn't look very fair? Yeah, absolutely. Devil wants to taint you toward God, because if you get tainted and embittered toward God, then you shut him out, and his love is life-changing. His love is life-changing, and he knows if he can get you to shut that out, so it makes perfect sense that he would constantly try to embitter us with the circumstances of life. Not becoming tainted. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about all these. Probably have a heart attack when that come up here. Don't become tainted when tests and trials come. Taking the blows of life. Taking the blows. Loss of possessions. Oh, I remember when we had the fire. It was the year of the leukemia. I remember it coming to my mind. When we came up the driveway and the house was on fire, I just finished treatments in the biggest part of 5 months in the hospital. I'd gone in, most of you know, not all. I'd gone into the hospital, bleeding between my teeth, out my nose. The capillaries had all burst in my legs with acute myeloid leukemia, white count of 137,000. Those of you who have medical background know that's pretty significant. They said I wouldn't live the first night. My sons all came in. Pretty much thought it was curtains, and God spoke to me during that time, and you were anointed for me, many of you, and prayed for me and had special prayer for me, and I'm so grateful for that. God spoke to me from 2 Kings chapter 20 in a very unusual way through one of his servants. I will heal you and add 15 years to your life. I did feel that I was to submit to the treatments. There was a side of me didn't want to take the treatments because I felt God had healed me. Dr. Schultz called me, the five doctors, the head doctor was Dr. Steve Schultz. Dr. Schultz and I made great friends, and we still are. Dr. Fraze has become a very dear friend. He was on the infectious disease doctor for me because my immunities were so low, and I had to have an infectious disease doctor, and he had to wear a mask and gown to come into my room. But I never will forget Dr. Schultz calling me after they did the bone marrow tap. I'll never forget it. He wasn't even on call that weekend, but he called me personally, and I answered the phone. He said, I wanted to deliver this to you, voice to voice, you and I. He said, there are no residual cancer cells in your blood or bone marrow. And he said, this is phenomenal, and I did not have a bone marrow transplant. So I really struggled with the whole chemotherapy thing because I thought, I don't want to do this. Chemotherapy takes you down. It'll kill you by itself. And they told me that for this type of case, protocol was to give the most intense chemo that's available, idarubicin and Erisi, in three dosages, huge dosages. over a period of time, drip, and then I even preached the one time when I got out for a week and wore a chemo pump. Some of you might remember that. But that spring, when I got out of treatment, and I had just taken a high-dose treatment for 2 weeks where they did neurological tests between the treatments to make sure I'd kept my brains because they said, we got to test you every little bit to make sure your thinking's okay because this is really high-dose stuff. We just finished the treatments in April. I did submit to the treatments because I felt I was supposed to, and I look back, it makes perfect sense now. I had never wrote the book the day I was blessed with leukemia that's touched a lot of lives. Never would have written the book if I hadn't done the chemo. I believe I needed to know how people feel. Every pastor needs to be a patient. I needed to be in the hospital and understand how it felt. It would have been wonderful if I'd have jumped out of bed there in Indianapolis and run out of the room and it had been on the front of the Indianapolis Star, maybe a patient. A crazy pastor from central Indiana just walks out, but it appears he's healed. But by submitting to the difficulties of chemotherapy, there were some tremendous benefits. And we had a long, hard winter, and you know, I lost all my hair and was taken down pretty thin, and even at one point at the other church fell on the floor. When I came and tried to do music practice, I actually fell on the floor in a fetal position, lay there, and someone had to take me home. Why am I saying all that? That was a hard trial. 3.5 months later, our house burnt down. With smoke damage and everything, it was a total loss. They got the fire out. Most of the house burnt, but the damage was total loss. That's mild compared to what Job went through. Because due to time, I'm not going to go on with the Job story, but you know that he not only lost his children and lost his possessions, but then he had boils on his body. And I haven't had boils like that, and I don't want to even think about it. I'm too wimpy for that. I've had a few things. But I do know that the devil came along, the accuser, the liar, during that time of finishing the cancer. And I had just built up to where I could start my prayer walks again because I had walked 5 miles a day and in the mornings, it would always, that would be my prayer time. And my goal when I got out of the hospital, I told Dr. Schultz, I said, I got to get back to my prayer walks. I want to be able to walk my 5 miles again. And oh my goodness, I didn't realize how much I was taken down. I went to the mailbox and back, and I thought, that's all I can do. I remember the one day I made it to the mailbox and back, and I thought, oh, man, I'm exhausted. Just going to the mailbox. But little by little, we were built back up, and through the summer, I got to walking and praying again, and oh my goodness, the cancer's behind us, and God touched me, and this is so cool, and let's go on a three-day motorcycle trip with some friends. And we came back, and when we got back to Logansport to meet our son, many of you know, he came there in the restaurant and said, your house is on fire, that they had just gotten a call. Enemy wants to taint you. Loss of possessions, loss of loved ones, physical suffering. God doesn't love you. How could God be who he says he is and this be happening to you? That's the route he wants to go because he wants to taint you toward him. I'm here to tell you that there's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes than meets the eye. There's an enemy that knows you'll become undeniable proof. There's an enemy that knows you'll become undeniable proof and that others will look on and say, this has to work. Look at Kevin and Angie Smith. Oh, I'm about to destroy your marriage. And they're saying God can help you. It has to work. You know Kevin and Angie Smith? This has to work. Undeniable proof. And we could go on and on and on around this room. Oh, you might as well forget. You're going to be on alcohol the rest of your life. And God can say, have you seen my servant, Dan Burton? have you seen how that he left that lifestyle and how what I've done in his life? And there's more going on behind the scenes than meets the eye. He does not want you to become that undeniable proof. And so he's out to taint you through trials of life, taking the blows, loss of possessions, loss of loved ones, physical suffering, sudden demoralizing calamities. How many of you had a calamity just out of nowhere? Oh, and it just knocks you off the horse. It just, that must mean I'm supposed to wind down. Just something comes along and just throws you. I won't ask for hands, but there's some of you nodding. It just, something just comes along and just throws you. then the accuser steps up and says, well, you're supposed to be a child of God. If you're a child of God, I can't imagine this happening to you. These are difficult days. Hear me. These are difficult days. We're in the hours of the return of Jesus. If you take the whole clock of all time, it's 2 minutes till 12, gang. If you make all of time a clock, we're about 2 minutes to 12. Jesus is coming back. In the book of Daniel, it says, Satan knows he has a little time. So what do you do when you have a little time? You step it up. Oh man, we got to leave in 5 minutes. We gotta grab my time. Where's this? Devil knows he has a little time. The heat's on. Your lives aren't easy. You need to get your fingernails into something today. You're fighting principalities and powers. Ephesians chapter 6, we fight not against flesh and blood. Now, sometimes it'll show up through flesh and blood. Okay? The Sabians came and stole all the donkeys, you know. Sometimes it'll show up through flesh. But what's really going on behind the scenes? You fight not against flesh. Oh, I had the worst day in my life I ever had at work. I had the worst day of my life I ever had in the community or in my factory. I cannot believe the way I got bombarded. I get prayer requests like that. You do too. What's really going on is that we're fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's a devil back there, and he's been roaming back and forth in Kmart and the drugstore and the community and in the school. And he's out to accuse you before God. And he wants to destroy that undeniable proof that you're becoming. Don't become tainted with the trials of life. Don't become tainted with the trials of life. Obviously, I'm not going to go through all those that disappeared on the wall anyway. I'm going to read them to you real quick. Sudden demoralizing calamities. Friends forsaking you or betraying you. Loss or betrayal by your spouse. Terribly painful. Gross misunderstanding. Being disrespected, falsely accused or your motive questioned, unfair treatment, being abandoned, being rejected, being unappreciated, going through emotional breakdowns. Some of you have had that. I've had two nervous breakdowns. Had one spell where I was disoriented for a little bit. I know a little bit about emotional breakdown. But it's in those trials of this cursed world that the devil tries to taint us toward the love of God. Now, I'm going to close in a minute. And I wanted to, it came back on. Wonderful. Thanks, Dave. Oh, that's perfect, because I was just thinking, it's a shame this verse isn't on the wall. The Lord used Dave there. Hebrews 4, you got to get this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Okay, I got to get this across to you. It's a cursed world. In this world, you're going to have flipsis. The Greek word, flipsis. Trials and tribulations, difficulties, pressures. You're going to have that. But we have a high priest. Who is that? Jesus. He's in the holiest of holies, Jason. He's going in interceding for us. He's cheering for us to God. He's carrying our prayers to God. But what's cool about Jesus is this. He's been here, and so he's in touch with our feelings because he's been tempted and tested in all points like we are. Isn't that cool? No other religion can boast of that. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. We have all these trials and difficulties, and we mess up. Hello? We have all these trials and difficulties, and there's times we mess up. He did it right. And then after doing it right, shed his blood and died for us as a perfect holy sacrifice so that through faith in him we can be saved. Awesome. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. So what do we do when mama dies in the room and chokes on her own vomit and we're like, oh my goodness gracious, I never dreamed something like this would happen. Why, I thought chariots would come for mom. Lord, what are you thinking? Man, look at all the faithfulness mom has shown. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And I found myself that day, the Lord saying to my heart, son, call out to me. What would your mom tell you to do? She was a woman of faith. She'd say, turn to the Lord no matter what happens. I don't know how many times mom said that. Turn to the Lord no matter what happens and trust him. He will take care of you. And can I tell you a secret? I had a worship service with my own heart and God in that room with my mom's corpse next to me, waiting on the undertaker. I mean that. Now, don't you dare put me on some pedestal. Man, our pastor handled that. No. I'm probably the weakest person in this building. You get to heaven and find out how weak I am. It's going to scare you to death. But this isn't about independency. It's about dependency. And on that floor that day, with tears running down my face and looking at my mom's pale, ugly corpse with all the mess she had been through, I said, Lord, I can't do this without you. Help me somehow get past this. And a joy began to come to me, and a strength began to come to me. It's never left me. Come boldly to the throne of grace and mercy. Lord, I can't do this. People come up to me and say, Pastor, you preach a good line, but I can't do it. And I look at them and I say, no, you can't. No, you can't. But with him, you can. In your flesh, you can. I can't go back to that factory. Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to get saved and go back to that factory and live holy. The Bible says, how do I? You can't, I can't do that. No, you can't. Let me tell you a valuable verse, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God hath appeared unto us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live holy, righteous lives right in the midst of this present generation. The grace of God hath appeared unto us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live holy, righteous lives in the midst of this generation. In other words, right in the middle of the 2018 in America, there's grace available. You with me? There's grace available. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's grace available. I can't do this. No, you can't. I can't pastor this congregation. I can't do that. But with him, I can. And Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And God gives you an incredible strength. All right, I'm about done. I kept you till 5 till last week. So this week I told myself, well, you're going to do that. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. Why do we come boldly? Thank you, Dave. Why do we come boldly? Because he's been tempted like we were. He came here, God of the universe, who lived in heaven and the bliss of heaven and streets of gold and in and out of the holiest of holies next to the Father in heaven. He came here and born in a manger of a virgin, Mary, and lived here, and he was tempted in all ways like we are. People spit in his face so he could understand how we feel. Hence the statement at the bottom. Don't blame him for the ills of this cursed world, but rather turn to him in the ills of this cursed world, and he'll take your hand and walk you through it. Let me say that again. Don't blame him for the ills of this cursed world, but rather turn to him. He calls you to turn to him in the ills of this cursed world, and he'll take your hand and walk you through it. What I found sitting on that trailer floor that day after that ugly experience with my mother is that when I turned to him and said, Lord, I can't deal with this. I cannot deal with this. I need you badly, that he came in with his presence and warmed my heart and encouraged me. And I'm not bluffing a bit. That happened in 2000. This is 2018. In the last 18 years, I have not struggled that. I've not once dreamed about it. In that particular case, I opened my heart to God's grace. I've had times when I let things embitter me. Anybody here? Yeah, though, you know, I'm telling you a hero story, but I'm trying to get across the benefits. I'm trying to use it so you can understand it. But I've also had times when things happened in my life and it tainted me. Skinner Chapel, I got up one Sunday, some of you may have been there, and I put the old transparencies, you know, we used to use on the wall. You remember when I laid the thorn on the screen? And I said, there's a reason why I have a thorn here. That thorn was in my eye. I got it in my eye hunting, climbing a tree into a tree stand. But I said, the reason I need to show you that thorn is I was up in a tree and got this thorn in my eye. And God said, there's not just a thorn in your eye, there's one in your heart. You've gotten angry at the people. I'd preached my guts out, pardon me, but I had. I'd preached my guts out, and there was just a lot of folks at that particular time that seemed like just didn't want to go with God. I got angry about it. I just got frustrated with it. And I felt it tainted my spirit. And I took some time off to hunt, but my real reason wasn't to hunt. It was to spend time with God. And I was in a tree stand, and I said to God, why do I not feel the same in preaching as I did? There's something wrong in me. What is it? I'm not aware of any sin in my life. What is it? And that was the day I got the thorn in my eye. I thought, this has got to mean something. And God said, son, it ain't just a thorn in your eye. There's one in your heart, and you got to get rid of it because you're operating out of a tainted spirit. You with me? You're operating out of a tainted spirit. Devil wants to taint you in some way or another. Don't blame him for the ills of this cursed world, but rather turn to him and the ills of this cursed world, and he'll take your hand and walk you through it. What I found is that year of 2005, when we had the cancer and the fire in the same year, that was kind of my Job year. What I found out that year is that Psalms 23 is true. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I'm going to tell you a little secret, and I ask permission to do this, and then I'm going to close. I just felt, don't normally tell this kind of stuff. You have special experiences with God. I have special experiences with God. The secret of the Lord is with the righteous. We don't tell it all. But I felt that God told me in the night I was to tell this, so I'm going to, and I ask permission of Melvin McCurley. During that time, and I say this humbly because I don't feel deserving of this, but I'm going to tell you, God shows up. During that time of the cancer and the fire, I shared a sermon one Sunday morning, and I felt God so unusually close, and I don't think he's ever told anybody this but me, but I asked him if I could tell it. I asked him this morning. He came up to me at the end of his service. He said, Tom, this has been a Job year for you. I thought that was interesting. I said, well, I don't think I'd score as good as Job. But he said, no, this has kind of been a Job year for you. But he said, I need to tell you something. And then his face changed, and he became real nervous. And he said, I don't know if I should tell you that or not. But he said, God gave me a revelation. And he doesn't want, I ask you, he had to leave this morning, not because of this. He had to leave, but he doesn't want anything said to him about it. He thought it was very special. God let his eyes be open to the fourth dimension. And he said, Tom, I looked up there while you were preaching. He said, I saw a silhouette of the Lord, and he had his hand on your shoulder. He said, I saw it plain as day, and I knew when I looked in his eyes that he had seen that. You know how when somebody's an eyewitness and they tell you something, you can tell by their eyes that they did see it. He said, I looked up there, and there was a silhouette of the Lord, and he said he had his hand on your shoulder while you were talking. Well, it just melted me because that morning I had felt unusually close. It was almost like while I was preaching, I felt like I needed to go like this. I'm serious. While I was preaching, I felt like I thought, somebody's over here. Now, don't run around, and my motive for that, that's why I'm crying, my motive isn't to, oh, our pastor, don't go there. God's no respecter of persons. I'm just telling you not to get tainted, because had I got mad at God over the house fire, that wouldn't have happened. Are you with me? If I'd have got mad at God over the house fire, that wouldn't have happened. Not that God didn't love me, Kevin. He loved me just as much. But I would shut it out with that tainted spirit. Don't let the trials of life, the difficulties in family, the hardships of life taint your spirit. Because you, without realizing it, closed out the love of God. And he wants to stand and put his hand on your shoulder and say, I'll go to Square D with you. I'll go to Branch with you. I'll go to the state police post with you. I'll go to the office with you. I'm with you, my friend. This isn't an easy world, but I'm with you all the way. That's what he wants to do. But when I get mad, he can't do that. Anger takes you out. And when I get mad and anger, this isn't fair. And my goodness, can you believe the Sabians come in and killed all my camels? And I prayed every day for my kids. And look what happened to my kids. That's devastating. I'm not making light of that. That would be a horrible trial. But the end of that story is that God gave him double everything he'd ever had. And God won the contest. And Satan, the father of lies, got put in his place. And thousands of years later, we're preaching on it and crying about it. God's doing bigger stuff than we realize all the time. I want to keep a sweet spirit. I've begged God for that. I've had times I got hurt. I think one of the most painful, I don't care, I'm getting older and bolder, more honest as I get older. I think one of the most painful times in my life wasn't when the, one of the most painful times in my life wasn't the leukemia, it wasn't the death of my mom, it wasn't the addictions of the kids, it wasn't the on and on. I think the most painful time in my life, we moved to another church. And I'd worked for 15 years to build reputation and try to represent God well, and you saw me through cancer and everything else, and then there came a lot of tainted spirits and problems and bad things happened and things said. I think if you'd asked me what Howard could tell you, that I've told him that privately. We're good friends. I think that was the hardest time of my life, but I remember during that time when I was getting shot at unfairly, and there was things people didn't understand. They didn't realize the revelation God had given me in Colorado, and I'd gone to fast and spent a year with the Lord, actually. And when I came back, he had given me some powerful things, and they didn't look logical to other people. And most people, they said, that's not the way you should do it. But I knew God had given it to me, and I felt like God said, are you going to apologize to people, or are you going to do my will? And I chose to follow him. But I got to say that during that time, I said, Lord, don't let my spirit get tainted. I prayed that numerous times. Don't let my spirit get tainted, because it is hard when people are shooting at you. It is hard when there's misunderstanding. It is painful when people don't understand where you're coming from and they misjudge your motive and they say unfair things. That is hard. It's very hard. I want to rise above it. And numerous times I've begged the Lord in situations, Lord, don't let me become tainted. Don't let me become tainted. Keep my spirit sweet. Now, last week I went to 5 to 12 and it's only 6 till. Stand real fast. And I kept my word. Jill, you were up first. All right. Thank you for putting up with my ranting and raving. That's all the only thing I know how to do. You got to be who you are. But I believe there's some real... I personally believe that you need to get a CD of this message, and let's do it again. Now, somebody could listen to that and say, boy, that isn't arrogant. Lord, to put me in a wheelchair tomorrow, and I'd drool the rest of my life and never be able to give a message. I understand where it comes from. I understand. I mean that. I don't say that lightly, but God could put me in a wheelchair tomorrow, and I was unable to preach again. I understand that. But I also know that there's some stuff in here that will see you through. This message this morning will take you through the tribulation period. This message this morning will take you through the tribulation period, because there's an enemy out there, and there's more going on behind the scenes than meets the eye, and God, the devil's bargaining and bidding high for you. Some of you that have come out of the real rough lifestyles, he's bidding real high for you. I'll tell you what, I just light up sometimes when I see the Willises and what God's done in their life, and I know everything imperfect, and ain't none of us are perfect, but how far people have come, and the devil sees that, and that's undeniable proof. I've heard some of you use for examples. I just had you stand so I could talk in there a minute. I've heard you guys use for examples. I've been talking to people in despair, and they'll say, well, so-and-so made it. He sure came out of it. You know, Darlin used to be able to count to 10, you know, and look at how sharp he is. You know, no, serious. But that's awesome. That's awesome that people are seeing what can happen. And I'm going to tell you, it's a cursed world. But if you're not tainted, you'll feel someone that's beside you from time to time so strong that you'll turn and think, I think I'm going to see him when I look. I'll look quick. I think he's right there, and he will be there. Thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for the beautiful music and the encouragement of that. Guide us through the day. May your hand be on us. May we be very, very faithful to you. We're deeply appreciative for the thoughts you gave us this morning. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.